So we're in the season of Advent, the season of preparing for the coming of Christ, and hearing these stories of those that were part of the preparing for Jesus' first coming. And so today we're in the book of Matthew in chapter 1, and we hear the story of Joseph. And Mackenzie's going to read that for us now. I invite you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, or to look in on the inserts in your bulletins.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Oftentimes in Scripture, we read the overall plot of things, and we're not given all the details. And don't you just wonder what that conversation was like? That'd be a tricky one, don't you think? I mean, oftentimes, you know, we see these nativity scenes around the city and love seeing them out there, and they look so serene. I mean, it's just got to be this beautiful scene. Here's a mother and a father and a baby just, you know, spending quality time in a barn. I mean, you'd think it just looks so wonderful, but when we really get down to the Scriptures and we really read the Bible, we realize these situations were difficult, very, very tense. I mean, so can you imagine this situation? So Mary is trying to explain to her fiancé, Joseph, how she's pregnant, but she's also been completely faithful to him and to her vows. What do you think she said? Do you think Joseph believed her right away? No. No. I mean, what would you have said if you were in that situation? And would you have believed Mary? Really? Very, very difficult. Now, as we've been going through the Scriptures in the book of Luke, as we looked last year, as we're coming towards Christmas, we see Mary's story. And here in Matthew, we see it from Joseph's perspective. Mary, arguably, I mean, she had more at stake in it than Joseph, but this morning we're going to just look at just how much Joseph was risking by believing Mary. So we see in Matthew chapter 18, in verse 19, it says, "Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man." The Hebrew term that would be used in there is a tzaddik, a person that was known as a godly person in the community. Like, you know, there's people in the community right now where, well, maybe there's not even many of them that you know, but there are people in the community where you go, their handshake is as good as any piece of paper. Their word is their bond. There are people like that. So you don't hesitate to do business with somebody like that, because you just know they are a person of absolute rock-solid integrity. That would be a modern-day tzaddik, somebody that would be seen as a godly man, a godly woman. And Joseph was that kind of a person. He was, you know, the kind of person that would be seen in that kind of light. That's what this phrase tells us. And we know also from Jewish custom, as they're preparing for a wedding, that Joseph would be in a time in his life where, you know, he was a young man, but he had got his trade together, he had a business, and he'd been able to show to his family that he was able to support a family of his own. And so his father said, "Okay, son, you're ready for marriage." And so there was an arranged marriages back then. I realize they don't sound good to you now, but as a father of two daughters, it's sounding better and better all the time. But so it was arranged marriages, and mom and dad made arrangements for Joseph to get married to this wonderful girl named Mary. So there was a betrothal ceremony, and so they're pledged to be married. They're not actually married yet, but it's even more binding than what we think of as engagement. Joseph has his business going. Life is good. He's a godly man. He's been trusting the Lord, saying, Lord, lead and guide my life and bless my business, because I want to have a family. I want to be able to support them. I want to, if I have kids, I want to raise them in a godly home. Good stuff. And then Joseph's poor life falls apart. And what's a guy like that going to do in a situation like this? Really? So he hears this story, and I like how the scripture puts it, because it says, Mary was found to be pregnant. So did she come to him first, or was it just sort of a rumor in the community? We don't know. But Joseph had to deal with this information. Of course, if he said nothing and just kind of life went on, well, it would naturally be assumed that he was the father. And then he would no longer be in the community considered a righteous man, because this is the man that did not keep his wedding vows. He did not wait. He did not trust the Lord that way. And this could cost him his business. It would certainly cost him his reputation. Of course, if he denied it and he said, no, that baby is not my baby, well, then now Mary's life is at risk, because Joseph, as a godly man, he knew the Old Testament law, and he knew, like, for example, Deuteronomy chapter 22 says, if a young woman's virginity can't be, that no proof can be found, that she should be brought to the door of her father's house, and there the men of the town shall stone her to death. She has done an outrageous thing in Israel by being promiscuous while still in her father's house. You must purge the evil from among you. Oh, gosh, that sounds like fun. And so Joseph knew the full extent of the law. And if he had called for it, it would have happened. But Joseph was a righteous man. And he was trying to think things through. What is the right thing to do in this situation? And so, using human reason, he put the pieces together and he said, well, how about I just divorce Mary quietly? That way we don't make a big fuss about it, and maybe she'll be okay. This will probably spare her life, and it will probably spare my reputation. So he did what any reasonable, compassionate, righteous person would do, or at least something like that. He tried to take the compassionate road out. And then God spoke. So Joseph has this very vivid dream. You ever had a vivid dream, like where you wake up and go, whoa, what was that? A vivid dream where an angel appeared to him and said, don't be afraid, take Mary as your wife, and all the other things that you've heard. It's just a dream, though. I mean, all it is a dream. You've had vivid dreams before. How do you know? I mean, how do you know that this was God talking to you and not, you know, you ate a bad piece of fish last night? How do you know? How do you know? No. And the truth is, you don't. You don't know with absolute certainty, because faith is risky. Every single time, faith is risky. So Joseph took this massive risk. It's interesting to me in the Bible that there is no mention beyond this point. There's no mention of Jesus' grandparents. And I say this as a person that loves grandparents. There is no mention of that. This decision to trust Mary very likely cost him his family. Mary, possibly hers. Probably hers. Everything was at stake for a dream. Joseph had no way of verifying whether any of this was true. None of the other fancy stuff has happened at this point. There's been no angels, there's been no wise men, there's been no nothing. Just a dream. How much do you risk for a dream? Has God given you a dream? Has God put things on your heart? Things you know you're supposed to act on and do. Might be small things, might be big things. What do you risk for a dream? Don't think that, you know, that dreams, when God puts it on your heart, it always looks like success, right? We love to think, oh, God leads me, and then immediately everything's going to go rosy. That's not the way it goes. Joseph didn't see anything, any good results from this for months. And as far as we know, Joseph even, you know, passed away prior to Jesus' public ministry starting. He never even saw the fullness of what his stepson would become. Never even saw it. He just had to take the risk. Faith is risky. You know, every time you follow the Lord, whether that's with acts of obedience, large or small, whether it's just the simple little things that you know you're supposed to do as a Christian, or the things that God especially laid on your heart, every single time it's going to involve risk, isn't it? Every single time. It'll be an equation a little bit like this. If I blank, then I risk blank. Sometimes it's just a very little thing, like, you know, maybe say, okay, I'm going to give to this charity, and okay, so Lord, I'm going to give, and I risk maybe not having some money for myself later on to buy something that I would like. Or maybe I'm volunteering somewhere and I risk giving up some time. If I risk giving up my time, then I risk that maybe I won't have time to do something else that I'd want to do, right? Or maybe I'll risk that I'll put myself out there and volunteer for something and nobody will appreciate me or nobody will even notice. I risk those things. Those are small acts of risk. Sometimes it's more, you know, medium-sized ones, like if I tithe, well then, you know, maybe I'm going to have trouble with some of my basic bills. And I'm going to trust the Lord to provide. That's a risk. I mean, every week we have somewhere between usually 5 and 20 people that are coming to church for the first time, or the very first time in a long time. And so people come through the doors of Columbia Grove, and they're taking a risk because, you know, you come into church, you don't know if the people here are weird or not. Or looking at you, or you don't know how weird you are, or whether you're a good weird or a bad weird. It takes a while to realize that you are a very good weird, but I mean, you don't know that. You've seen stuff on YouTube, and I mean, there's crazy stuff out there. You're taking a risk. You don't know. Or for many of you in this past year, it's been a risk of getting involved in a connection group where you're actually meeting with people on a regular basis and you're talking about your faith. And man, that's risky because, you know, what if people don't accept me in the way that I'm hoping? What if they hear my story or my struggles or my doubts and they mock me or they laugh at me? And you don't know that. You don't know it's going to go well until you've actually been there and you've actually taken that step. So there's some medium-sized risks that God calls us to. Sometimes they're very specific ones. You know, you're just called to like, have you ever had it where just God put somebody on your heart? You know, you're just going through your day and you're thinking about Bob, whatever it is. You just think about somebody and you go, well, what should I do with that? Do I just sort of let it go, or do I maybe pick up the phone, give them a call, say, hey, you were just on my mind and wanted to see how you're doing, or you send them a text or a little Facebook note or something? All of those things are risks, because, I mean, what if they don't receive it? What if they don't respond? Or what if they think ill of you? Or I don't know. All of those things are risks. Actually, as I was preparing to speak this week, I really felt God was challenging me just to change an element of my schedule. Like, we have an office down on Valley Mall Parkway, and you know, normally I'll bring my lunch. Actually, Anita will make me a lunch. It's just, I have such a sweet life. It's amazing. Okay, so she makes me this great lunch, and I eat lunch at the office, and it's wonderful. And you know, this week one day just felt like God was saying, just change your routine. And so, so I went and I actually had lunch at the Clearwater. Great place. Enjoyed the food, and you know, just sat at the bar at lunchtime, and just listened to the conversations around me, and got to actually know a few of the people that are, you know, pretty frequently down on that block. Nothing really dramatic happened, but I did have some really good conversations and opened up some new relationships. Every time you take a step, and most of our steps, most of our risky steps, they're small risks. They're daily risks, just regular acts of obedience. But every time there's something at stake. There's something at risk. You're going to risk your routine. You're going to risk some rejection. You're going to risk that if you speak out on something you care about, people are going to misunderstand you, or even worse, they're going to understand you and not like you. There are risks involved in everything. Some of you are thinking about big risks, like, you know, maybe becoming a member of a church. I mean, big steps, like, okay, I mean, am I going to date this church, or am I going to get committed to this church? I don't know. There are big choices that we make. Some of you are thinking about that in your own relationship. There's somebody that you're dating, and it's time to actually pop the question. It's time to get committed, and it's time to take that step. And God's put things on your heart, acts of obedience, and every single time there is risk involved. So my job today, as we look at this passage, is to say, what's the dream God's put on your heart? What's the risk that he has called you to? Because, you know, if you're listening and you're thinking about this, the Holy Spirit is probably speaking to you. There's a conversation that you need to have. It's a phone call you need to make. Person you need to forgive. A family member that you need to speak to in a different way over the holidays. A change in routine, maybe. A step forward in commitment. And what is it? If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you know. And my job today is to say, do it. If I risk, or if I blank, then I risk blank. And every act of faith involves risk. Every single act of faith. You think about it, Joseph, he could have taken the safer route. You know, that his first plan wasn't a bad plan. But if he had taken it, and he hadn't trusted in that dream, that thing that God put on his heart in the middle of the night, that just vivid impression, he would have missed out on quite literally the very best thing that ever happened in the history of time. He got to be Jesus's stepfather. And though Joseph never lived to hear it, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus would later on go to say, he'd be talking to people and say, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you have no place in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking to people that they do the right thing and only in the ways when it makes them look good, and only in the ways that people expect for them. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. And I can't help but wonder if he wasn't thinking about his stepdad and his stepdad's righteousness. Because there is a righteousness that comes with just plain old-fashioned, risky obedience to the thing that God's called you to do. And sometimes you look dumb. Every time there's something on the line. But my job today is to say to you, dear friends, do it. Take that step. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these examples in Scripture of people like Mary and Joseph that trusted you in some really, really trying times. And Lord, we're so grateful that Joseph said yes to your plan. Thanks for the way that you used Joseph to shape our Savior's early life. That you taught him about a righteousness and an obedience to God that far surpasses your pedigree, that surpasses, you know, what people will just think of you. And Lord, we pray that we would have that same kind of faith. That we would have a boldness and obedience and a willingness to follow you wherever you would lead us. And Lord, there are things that you in these last minutes you've laid them on people's hearts. Phone calls that need to be made, conversations that need to happen, routines that need to change. And Lord, we pray for the strength to take that kind of risk. In Jesus' name, amen.